Father, I have your word, and I know it's true. I am what it says I am. I have everything it says I have. And I can do everything it says I can do. In Jesus' name. Amen. Today I am going to finish up loving people God's way. But I'd like to recap a little bit of where we transversed, because loving God His way is not what we expect or realize to be true. To love God with all our heart, with all our strength, is to love God in such a way that we need to surrender every aspect of our life to Him and surrender who we are in Him. That requires us surrendering our wants, our desires, our dreams, and most importantly, our rights to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And you guys who have been with us for any appreciable time understand that this work is a work of love that God has started to put together and is challenging us to take every step further and further in this relationship with Him. To love God is easy to say, I love God because He's my Savior. It's not easy to say, I love God because He's my Lord. Because that requires your will. And a lot of times, we do things or we say things that are not in line with our hearts. And so, a lot of us profess Christ, but we don't live it. We're not successful. And Jesus told us, take His yoke upon Him, upon yourself. For His yoke is easy and His burden is light. What He's trying to convey to us is this freedom that we would not experience unless we take it. We understand that, and we're in the midst of that. But the second thing that we practice here, especially to love God, is to love people. This is what this ministry is all about. It's loving people, not just to love people, but to love them as family. And all of us have come from different situations, different scenarios that we categorize as dysfunctional. All of us have. And what keeps us from total surrender is the examples that our fathers set before us, and we carry that and think God is the same way. God is nothing. He is so good that He wants to give you the desires of your heart. If only you would surrender and commit your life to pleasing Him. And to please Him is to serve one another. We have, out of Romans 1 and 2, it says, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may be able to test and prove and what is God's will, his good, his pleasing, and perfect will. I'd like to read you something different that you may be able to take Romans 1 and 2 and really see how it congeals in our life. So here's what I want you to do. God is helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, your going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. That's what a living sacrifice is. Every day we get up and we take our lives and we offer it to God. Do what you will. He knows what your schedule is, but are you willing to surrender your will for His? Because He works everything out for the good who love them and are called by Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you. Respond to it immediately. Unlike the culture around you, who's always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. To be a living sacrifice is to actually respond to what He's doing. And a lot of times what we do is we respond, but our response is usually in anger and frustration because it's not what we would do normally. God doesn't care about our frustrations. He doesn't care about how angry we get. God is about His will because He has our highest good. Hear me. He has our highest good at His disposal. And if we believe that, we will trust Him to manifest that in our life. This is how Jesus lived His life while He was on earth. He did nothing unless He saw the Father do it first. Which brings us back to what are we doing when we spend time with God? Do we ask Him to show us what the day's going to be like? Or do we sheepishly say, I really want what you got for me. You know, it's going to be awesome and awe-inspiring and wonderful. Or do we say, you know, I'll do what you want me to do if it fits into my schedule. We have to learn that loving sacrificially is not what we're accustomed to. And to display this, we have the opportunity to display this to others as God stirs our heart to respond. The greatest example I can find is how this happens is through our kids. When I had kids, I realized how selfish I was. Still, realizing that there's still some selfishness within me. But God uses our kids to teach us more about Him and how to be like Him. And eventually what happens is we become like Him. We surrender. We find that our agenda, our purposes, our dreams, our hopes are not as important as putting into our children what God expects us to put into our children. I have been blessed to have two children who are successful, and they're gifted in different ways. And only because I've been willing to sacrifice so I could see what God wanted to do with them. And so it will be for you. And the Bible teaches us an example of sacrifice, really being committed to God's highest purpose for each other. Because you see, it no longer becomes what I want, it becomes what God wants, and how all this has to fit into His plan, His purpose. And like I said last week, He didn't change His plan or purpose from the Genesis 1:28 mandate. That has always been the case. And when we fell, He wasn't really taken aback by that. What He did was He formulated a plan with the purpose of restoring us or redeeming us back to the position that He has originally intended. And the sooner that we understand and surrender to what God has, we will then enter into the high calling of Jesus Christ. God's plan is for us to have dominion. That was His original mandate. But now, that mandate is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Everything that we do is to take dominion because of Christ and His finished work. Even with our children. If you would turn to Ruth. Ruth is a great story about the committedness of a person to a righteous person. A little background of the story was that Naomi, which was Ruth's mother-in-law, had two sons and was married. Husband died and both sons died. And she tried to live out where she was. She was in the land of Moab. And she realized that God was calling her back to her home. And so she says, this is Naomi. One day she got herself together, she and her two daughters-in-law, to leave the country of Moab and set out for home. She had heard that God had been pleased to visit His people and give them food. And so she started out from the place she had been living, she and her two daughters-in-law with her, on the road back to Judah. And after a short while on the road, Naomi told her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, go home, and live with your mothers. And may God treat you as graciously as you treated your deceased husbands and me. May God give each of you a new home and a new husband." She kissed them, and they cried openly. They said, "No, we're going on with you to your people." But Naomi was firm. "Go back, my dear daughters, why would you come with me? Do you suppose I have sons in my womb who can become your future husbands? Go back, dear daughters, on your way, please. I'm too old to get a husband. Why? Even if I said there's still hope, and there, this very night I got a man and had sons, can you imagine being satisfied to wait until they had grown old? Would you wait that long to get married again? No. Dear daughters, this is a bitter pill for me to swallow, more bitter for me than for you. God has dealt me a hard blow." Again, they cried openly. Oprah kissed her. And Oprah was the sister-in-law. And said goodbye, but Ruth embraced her and held on and said, Naomi said, "Look, your sister-in-law is going back home to live with her own people and God's. Go with her." But Ruth said, Don't force me to leave you. Don't make me go home. Where you go, I go. Where you live, I'll live. Your people are my people. Your God is my God. Where you die, I die. And that's where I'll be buried. So help me, God. Not even death itself is going to come between us. And when Naomi saw that Ruth had her heart set on going with her, she gave in. That is a committed life. Committed to the highest good of someone else. Do we live that way? Do we live in such a way that we are committed to the highest good of one another? I think we need to understand we're not alone. We're not in this thing by ourselves. I am committed to you. As I said to you last week, my commitment to you is total because God's commitment to you is total. But I expect you to be as committed to me and my family as my family and I are to yours. This is called covenant relationships. And in Jesus Christ, that is the highest good we can have for one another. We can lay down all the suspicion, mistrust, all the plans that we think we're coming up with, and trying to decide whether that person, whether it's a good thing that a person does or says, is really good for us. And I have to say that we do. And I'm preparing you to understand that this commitment that you have placed here at Streams is going to be tested by those who are coming in looking for what we have. They're not going to look like us. They're not going to smell like us. They're not going to do things like us. They are children. And it's all of our responsibility to love them, to teach them, to do things that reveals the heart of our Father. This is what it looks like in practical life as a life in Christ. And we're not to brag about what we've done for each other. No. God sees everything. God is our Father. He wants to bless us. If we are stimulated in our heart to meet a need, we need not go around bragging to everybody else what we did. Because, as Jesus said, they have their own rewards. Our reward is in heaven. Our reward is salvation, which is not a gift, although it is. It is a person. We go to heaven because of what He's done to receive rewards in our life of what He's instructed us to do to further His plan of dominion. And I know all of us have invited people to come to Streams and stuff, but I want you to understand that they're looking for love. They're looking for acceptance. They're looking for something that would identify them as valuable. I like our outreach. It's called treasure hunting because they're treasures that God looks for. He says, wouldn't a man who's found a pearl in a field go and sell everything he had to buy that field to have that pearl? How much would you invest to get that pearl? I want us to remain balanced in what it looks like to live in Christ, because there are some that doesn't even understand the principle of our neighbor. And we know the two laws: love God with all our heart, strength, mind, soul, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Well, we've come to understand that as I give my all to God, yeah, I'm going to wrestle with God because He's digging deeper into my heart and all, but, you know, it's kind of like boxing with God. I lose every time, but, you know, the struggle is still there. We internalize this. But that there are those who have called upon Christ to be their Savior, but haven't come to understand that when they surrender and make Him Lord, for the first time in their life, they experience freedom. Freedom. And that's what it's all about. On the other side of the cross, I can't even remember how despicable I was. But this side of the cross, God has forgiven me of every transgression. And when I learn about His plans, His principles, His law, I learn more about Him. Not as a to-do list that I have to accomplish. That was the problem with the Pharisees. What I experience is that He took the time out of His schedule to set up this world. If you read Genesis 1 and you see the time that He took to make a wonderful world for us to live in, you would understand how awesome He is. What thought went into this process? We fulfill the the vertical relationship with God, but we're constantly at this horizontal position, and we're constantly brought to a crossroads in our life as to, will we do what God says, or we will do what we want? And sadly, there are those who have not surrendered their will to God. And because they haven't surrendered their will to God, they are afraid of really looking at Him to see Him as He is. What bondage these individuals are in. In this horizontal relationship, God has told us in Leviticus 19:8, do not seek revenge or bear grudges against one of your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. This is what happens when people have not surrendered their life, their will, because they hold against people. They want to revenge. They want to hold on to a grudge. In my family, that's what it was. That was life. They held a grudge for 30 years. And they rejoiced when trouble came upon an individual. How sad. That's what I grew up in. And thank God He has saved me from myself. I don't bear a grudge because it takes from me. It tries to shackle me. And believe it or not, what I give away, God blesses me back with more and a whole lot more than what I give away. And it may not be in the form that I'm accustomed to, But nevertheless, he blesses me, my family. We have to come to understand that life in Christ is not what we can get from people, but how we can serve and meet needs of each other. Because when I do that and I see the joy that it brings to someone else, my heart is lightened. And that happens so often when a need is revealed, that God responds to his children to move their hearts to love that person. And the way we love, we can either encourage one another through our words. We can come alongside, which I love to do with my bride, come alongside and give a hug, tell them how important they are to God, that he has a specific calling and a gift to serve, to give to someone else. But those who have not learned this way tend to surrender their gifts grudgingly, kind of like the prophet Jonah, who was told to go to Nineveh to preach salvation to a wicked nation, and they repented. You would think that would be good, right? People would come to their senses, forsake the evil of their ways, and come back to the living God. That was not Jonah. His heart was not revealed to be wicked. It wasn't what Jonah wanted. He didn't want to see wicked people repent and turn to the living God and change. He wanted them destroyed. He wanted them to see God's judgment. And 1 Peter tells us that it's not God's heart to destroy anybody, but they come to the knowledge of him and to salvation that he's provided. Philippians 2 explains it this way. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. I'm not the brightest bulb in the box. That's why God has given me my wife. I get caught up in the purposes and plans of God, and she reminds me that there are things that God wants to do, that when she speaks, it stirs my heart. And I immediately go to the Father. I repent of my dullness of listening. And then he explains to me. And we do things to make people happy, to bless people. And you do the same. You do the same. You just don't think that you do, but you do. And I want to encourage you that. You know, we should be a people about what God has set. It's called discipline in our lives. When we set those disciplines in our lives, we find out that we can live on much less than what we have. And when we get those things away, we have the freedom, we experience freedom of not being entangled by ownership. It's God's. If God tells me to do something with something that he's given to me, I do it. Why? Because I want to please God. I love God. And as I do these things out of obedience, he blesses me more and more. And as I was describing these individuals who have not surrendered the will, they want to get blessed, but they don't want to sacrifice to receive the blessings of God. How sad. Are we so committed to God and to each other, looking to impart a blessing to one another, or are we still selfish? I don't believe we are. I believe that whatever it takes, one, two, three, four of us, whatever the number, we will try to meet a need. Hear me, a need. Look at your scriptures and see what a need is, not your greed. These individuals who have not surrendered their will are people who are filled with excuses why they can't do what God says to do. They live less than the reality of being royalty with God. They do things in such a way that they make people feel sorry for them so that they don't have to live a disciplined lifestyle and still call themselves Christians. These people are so fear-ridden that they're afraid of even the mention of love. Because to them, love means something different. At Streams, we love because God loved us first. We can see through Ephesians 4, 17 through 32, these people and how they live. And they live in a way opposite of what a true son and daughter of the King is all about. They live less. They live in the squalors of this world's goods and stuff. They're controlled by these things when God wants to set them free, truly free. They look at each day with drudgery. Instead, I go and I get my cup of coffee, I close my office door, and I spend time with God, praising Him, thanking Him. I don't know what the day's going to bring. Yesterday was a great day. Irene was so busy, and I had things to do. And then the Lord threw my grandson into the mix of it. And Irene says, can you come and pick up Aiden? And I'm sitting there. I'm at this crossroad. Is what I need to do more important than serving my wife? And if you want to know how that turned out, ask her. I have learned that if I capitulate to do the will of God, I have time to do the things that He allows me to do. Hear me, allows me to do. And many of you have been recipient of some of the things. I've dropped what I've had to do because you had a need. I'd grab a couple of you and, come on, we're going over here. I was discipling on the run. And you guys responded well. You responded well. I was trying to teach by example sacrifice. If we learn the gift of sacrifice, if we learn that every time that we stand at that crossroads, whether it's my will or His will, we come to understand that I gave my will to Him. That's not an option. Satan will always give us that option. My option is to do what God says to do. If I choose that, I'm fulfilling the horizontal relationships with each other. And I want to continue to encourage you guys. Your lives are busy. Your lives are filled with a lot of things that consume your life. And God said today, whatever's consuming your life today, He will blow it away. That's how gentle God is with us. We have to learn that it's not a to-do list that we check things off. It's a list of love of which we get to do. I get to serve Ed. I get to serve Clara. I get to serve Irene. I get to serve Bobby. I get to do these things. Because left to myself, I wouldn't do these things. And it's so much better because Proverbs says, how good and pleasant it is for two to walk together. That if one falls, there's someone there to pick them up. My life has had a tumultuous beginning, but it has smoothed out to a place where I'm enjoying what God's doing. I just rejoice in what God's doing. I get angry when the enemy tries to throw something in my way. But as you progress, as you give your life to Jesus Christ daily, every day, it's a daily struggle. But once you've made that commitment, then I would rather live for Jesus Christ than to live for myself, that option is no longer a temptation to you. And some of us still have that option going on in our life. We're small, but God says that we will not be small for long. God says that our love, His love that He gives to us, will be poured out, shed abroad upon those who are just as ornery as we were. We just got to understand this. But through time, through patience, through love, God will change them. To know true freedom, to know true freedom is to take our will and give it to Him. Whatever He wants from us today, and I know each and every one of us have a pot roast in the oven, and you're saying, Pastor, please finish up so I can get to my pot roast. Understand this. This ministry has built on this last scripture. Jesus saying, a new commandment I give to you. Love one another as I have loved you. He is committed to our highest good. Are we committed to each other's highest good? That's love. So you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Are you His disciple? Discipline is just simple. You know, I'm His disciple. He's told me to do this. He's told me to get my finances in order. He's told me to get my children in order. He's told me to do this. Why? Not because he's nasty or an ogre. He has a reason for your life. And if we do these things, we get to do other things. More important things. Greater things through love. I'd ask Dan to come and finish up.